You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, this is Ankita.
And this is Apoorva.
And welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top three news from the world of work from the month gone by. If this is your first time here, a big welcome, and we hope you enjoy the ride. If this is you returning, hooray! We're so glad you're back. It's been a while, but we're rearing to go. Apoorva, what's on our list for today?
So a lot has been happening, and it's been a real challenge to pick just three topics, but we did it. So first up, there's a lot going on when it comes to DEI, but one thing caught our eye and we are really impressed. For our second story, we still haven't seen the last of layoffs with Meta's controversial culling of low performers. The list of people impacted just keeps growing. And for our last and final topic, a clip from JP Morgan's CEO was leaked, which caused some really interesting reactions. But before we get into all of that, it was also the season of love, Ankita. So how many roses did you receive?
Well, I got the quintessential dozen roses. Apoorva, I'm curious what you got. But you know what is on in March? You know what? It is birthday month. And, you know, because we are back after a very long time, as a gift, if every bandit listening to this episode does a quick little pause, gives us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple or wherever they're tuned in from, that would make a much better gift than any amount of roses. Better still if they really leave us a review.
Now, Bandit, I know Ankita really well. And when Ankita asks for a birthday wish, you better grant it to her. So I'm really keen to go back to our Spotify, Apple, and all those other platforms and see how we do after this episode. By the way, March is a special month for me as well, as I return back to my full-time job after a maternity leave of almost 7 months. So with a 6-month-old baby, a full-time job, any and every encouragement from our listeners to keep this pod going will be really help me keep going as well. So do share it with your friends. Do leave us comments and reviews. We will look forward to it. Ankita, let's jump right in and earn those 5 stars now.
Absolutely. Well, before I jump into our first topic, 7 months of a break for maternity is absolutely not enough, but I'm going to reserve my comments for that. Okay, for our first topic, it's been one that has been infuriating both Apoorva and me. In a significant shift across corporate America, many companies are stepping back from their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. But one company has launched a campaign that has made us sit up and take notice, and in a good way. Elf Cosmetics launched a head-turning campaign called So Many Dicks. Turns out there are more men named Dick, which is Richard, Rick, Rich, on US public corporate boards than entire groups of unrepresented people. Now, this is a departure from what's becoming the norm. This campaign literally calls for more diversity at board level. Now, Apoorva, I am really impressed by Elf's move. What do you think?
So at a time when companies like Google, Meta, Deloitte, Accenture, GE Aerospace have deprioritized their DEI efforts, this campaign by Elf Cosmetics is a really bold move. So I love it. Now, Elf's end goal via this campaign is to help double the rate of women and people of color added to board of directors of public and private companies, regardless of location. And Elf is certainly walking the talk themselves by being one of only 2 out of 4,000 plus publicly traded companies with a board that is 78% women and 44% diverse. Now, why is diversity among board of directors important? So the board is responsible for making key decisions that shape the company's strategy, governance, risk management, including approving major transactions, capital allocations, and leadership appointments. The board also sets the tone for the company's mission, vision, and figures out what the company's goals should be. And that's why who sits on the board and the experiences they carry is crucial. So it's no surprise that a 2023 report by McKinsey also found that boards with more gender diversity are 27% more likely to outperform less gender diverse boards. And boards with people of color are 13% more likely to outperform less diverse boards. Now, ELF is working towards the goal by doing 2 key things. One is building awareness on the importance of a diverse board via their white paper. It's available on their campaign website, the link to which is in the show notes. ELF is also sponsoring 19 people in the 2024 National Association of Corporate Directors, or NACD, Accelerate program to get boardroom ready. The NACD in the US sets the bar for corporate governance through education and advisory services. And this Accelerate program is a unique two-year program that creates a pathway for executives with little or no experience in the boardroom to prepare for board service. So I really applaud what ELF is doing here. But I also wonder if they are able to do so because they have little dependence on government contract. And it's the backlash from the government in terms of the risk of losing contracts, which has resulted in organizations like Accenture taking a step back from DEI.
Yeah, we could probably do an entire episode on what's happening in the space of DEI alone. But there are two examples I wanted to share today. Now, you and I have been sending a few reels back and forth where Mark Zuckerberg literally said that more masculinity is good and corporate culture is getting away from it, which is not good. He also calls for the need to celebrate aggression, which I find surprising. Well, maybe not surprising, but more disturbing. Now, on the other hand, very recently, on 25th Feb, there was a statement from Tim Cook as Apple majority shareholders rejected a proposal to end diversity policies such as using race and sex in hiring decisions. The comment is, as the legal landscape around this issue evolves, we may need to make some changes to comply, but a North Star of dignity and respect for everyone and our work to that end will never waver. And these two contrasts make me think that there is definitely pressure that organizations are feeling from the current administration. But the responses can vary to a very large extent. And ELF is not the only one who's been brave enough to combat the wave against DEI. We have companies like McKinsey, Costco, Delta Airlines, Procter & Gamble, and Sephora who have all continued and reinforced their commitment to DEI, right? And I think even if these companies have no direct government contracts, the ruling powers can always find other means to put pressure, and companies should and can fight it out. And I've said this on the pod before in previous episodes, but I truly believe that our corporations today are as powerful, and if not more powerful, than governments. They just need to flex that power in areas that they believe is right.
Yeah, well said there. And this is a highly evolving space this year. So Bandits trust us to bring you the latest and greatest on this topic every month. Now, for our second topic, we have an update on layoffs. Layoffs have continued to rock companies across corporate America, with Meta announcing performance-based layoffs of 3,600 employees, Google laying off employees in devices and services teams, offering voluntary exit as a part of its restructuring, Workday announcing 2,000 job cuts. Now, these layoffs are not just limited to the tech sector, with companies like JP Morgan Chase and Chevron also trimming their workforce. While there are so many layoffs, why do we want to talk about Meta in particular? Because they've been labeled as performance-based cuts, as quoted by the company CEO Mark Zuckerberg in a memo he sent across the company in June 2025. The memo stated, and I quote, "I've decided to raise the bar on performance management and move out low performers faster." Additionally, in the layoff memo that went out to employees, it was stated that anyone being terminated for low performance is not eligible to apply for an internal role change or reapply for a role at Meta during their non-working period. But after leaving Meta, anyone can apply for a role through the career page, and as always, past performance will be considered while making a hiring decision. So in my view, there are three major concerns on this approach by Meta. Number one, typically layoffs involve elimination of roles, and hence the individuals occupying those roles get impacted. The company usually doesn't foresee filling those roles in the near future. In Meta's case, they are going to backfill the impacted employees. However, they want to focus more on AI-based skill sets, is what they say. Second, underperforming employees deserve a chance to improve, and Meta's approach denies them that. Managers often don't do a good job of informing employees about underperformance transparently, which also gets compounded if the performance measurement is relative, which is the case in most organizations, including Meta. Third, and last, given these employees who've been laid off are now labeled as low performers, my fear is that they may find it difficult to land a role in other companies, as those companies may be hesitant taking someone who's laid off because of being an underperformer at another organization. What do you think, Ankita?
There's a lot wrong with this, in my opinion, right? So first, layoffs are happening, of course, across the world, not just corporate America. But Meta's specific strategy has led to a whole rise of increase in posts on LinkedIn. And while every single organization does cull a bunch of their low performers and, you know, raises the bar on performance every year and so on, there's this move of, you know, being labeled an underperformer publicly that is causing a big amount of churn. Like, in my opinion, frankly, it should be illegal to terminate jobs for underperformance unless you have given the employee a chance to improve via alleged performance improvement plan. Unless, of course, you're at an executive level. At that point of time, I think things get done differently. So I think sending a memo like Meta did undermines a lot of underlying factors that have led certain employees to be underperforming, assuming that this memo is actually truthful, right? Like, it is an underperformer at Meta could be stellar elsewhere. So this move, I'm going to just chalk this as Zuckerberg just following his advice of embracing aggressiveness or whatever form of masculinity he thinks this represents. But I generally think that there was a fair bit of tact missing in this action.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I would urge anyone who's hiring and comes across an ex-Meta employee to not let the fact that they may have been laid off due to performance reasons impact their chances of being employed at another organization. I think that's the least we can do.
Absolutely. 100%. With that, I'm going to move us to our last and final topic for today, Jamie Dimon. Now, he's one CEO whose actions I enjoy following. And the latest expletive-laden leaked audio is definitely one to tune into if you haven't heard it yet. Now, as someone who's not with JP Morgan, it is as amusing as it might be disturbing. But in this clip, the CEO of JP Morgan, in an all hands, is very audibly upset that everyone is sending texts in meetings, and this is leading to a rise in inefficiency, rudeness, and fallen innovation. Now, the part I find most amusing is that he talks about trying to reach people on a Friday and no one is picking up his calls. Now, if I was the CEO, I'd probably be pissed that no one's picking up my calls either. And then, of course, there is him ranting about people being here and there and not turning on their video when on calls. So I guess he has a fair bit to be upset about, which I may or may not agree with. But there's this part that he says about those early in their career. And I think I agree with him on that part, that if you look at the impact on the whole work from home trend, it is definitely those who are early in their career who are impacted the most. Now, I've worked from home and I've worked from office and I'm really maybe old school, but I learn the most and the fastest when I'm surrounded by my colleagues, and things also generally move faster. So Apurva, I'm curious, how much do you agree or disagree with Jamie?
So firstly, I think if people are not answering the CEO's call, that could be a leadership problem and not just a work from home problem, right? So I don't know what's going on with Jamie and his team there. But I do agree with your view where you say people who are early on in their careers do benefit more if they work from office, because we learn more when we learn from others. I carry the same opinion, but we are both, again, millennials, so maybe we think differently from the Gen Xers. However, I think the problem with just a blanket work from office, which some companies are trying to do now, is that, again, it casts everyone in the same shade, in the sense people are at a different life phase may want different things. So, for example, I now have a child and I might want the flexibility of being able to work from home when I wish. So personally, I feel hybrid is the right strategy for organizations. Now, coming to Jamie's leaked clip. And again, in my view, it's not so much about what he says, which is concerning, but it is more about how he says that was unsettling. So it's just another flavor of the kind of masculine energy that Ankita mentioned at the beginning, Mark Zuckerberg was mentioning, is missing today in organizations. And Jamie's statements on work from home and even DEI signal a new way of communicating and leading that completely lack empathy. What's also troubling is the, hey, I'm the CEO, and because I said so, we need to do something mode of communication that was rampant in his remarks. So he doesn't see the need to present any evidence or data to show that remote work is hurting the company when he's up.
Yeah, I think on that, like, we only got a clip of the video. So I don't know if there was, like, if there was more to it. You know, that's what happens when someone gets a tiny snippet of information and we're trying to extrapolate that entire conversation. But I am curious if he did present any data or said anything more on this topic.
Yeah, but across all our topics today, I do see this undercurrent of, you know, a lack of empathy, more rudeness, something that you predicted, Ankita, was probably going to be a trend this year. And we're already starting to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is, you know, his audio clip also shows the disconnect between the top management layer and what's on the ground reality, right? Because here's what Jamie ends with. He says, you have a choice. You don't have to work at JP Morgan. Now, this statement is a double-edged sword. Like, technically, everyone has a choice, but everyone also needs to pay their bills. So while every single organization has the right to set the rules that they think serves the organization best, and each employee has the right to choose a workplace that fits them the best, at a time where organizations are getting rid of a bunch of employees, most folks at JP Morgan will be highly upset. And they will continue working for JP Morgan. And guess what will happen, Apoorva? The other trend that I think you predicted, which is soft quitting. So I do think it's going to be a very interesting year. We're already seeing our trends starting to appear. But this audio is definitely one to listen to.
All right. So Bandits, there you go. Too many dicks, layoffs, and a CEO rant. Those were our top three. But here are other three pieces of news that you should know before you go. First, it looks like Gen Z isn't a big fan of middle management. As per a report by Robert Walters in a survey of 2,000 white-collar professionals, of which 800 respondents were Gen Z employees aged up to 27, half of them didn't want to be middle managers at all. And almost 70% dismissed such jobs as high stress, low reward. It's a survey with a small sample size, but it's making news. Second, the luxury brand Hermes had an outstanding year and will share its success with staff, confirming that employees will be awarded a 4,700 euros of bonus each. Lastly, the LinkedIn 2025 workplace learning report is out. And while it doesn't really say anything new, the word personalized finds a mention there.
And that was another thing we said is not going to happen this year. But that is a lot of news. And it feels really good to be back doing this. Apoorva, it's time to get us out of here. But before we go, the past month was also Black History Month. What is one thing that you're doing to celebrate or did to celebrate?
So I really am trying to find time to reread the book So You Want to Talk About Race. I read it back in 2022 when I moved to the US, and I think now is a good time to revise it again, especially as we see so many leaders ringing the death knell for DEI.
That is a really good book. I would definitely recommend. I enjoyed reading it. Now, I'm learning a bit about Black inventors, and there's a lot to learn there. Did you know that the three light traffic signal, the automatic elevator doors, and the home security system are all inventions attributed to Black inventors? Well, Bandit, February was a lot of things, but it was also Black History Month. So take a moment to learn one fun fact, or read a book by a Black author like Apoorva's doing to show your allyship. And with that, Bandits, on the behalf of NHRDN and HR Bandit, this is Ankita, and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.